The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd of his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their crosses and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Story. I was in fifth grade, and I remember it was fifth grade because I remember who the teacher was. She was tough, and we all thought she was pretty mean, and we were all fairly afraid of her. And she gave a lot of tests. So there's this boy that was always sitting next to me. I think it was because our last names were similar. She did an alphabetical order. He was Brinkman, I was Burleigh. And he cheated off me a lot. And I don't know what it was that let me cheat. Were we close to each other sitting together? Or did I have a crush on him? I don't remember any of that. But I remember that he cheated on me. And one day I decided I don't want him cheating off me anymore. So we had a multiple choice quiz. And I decided I'm going to write down all the wrong answers. I was a good student. So I knew what the right answers were. I wrote down all the wrong answers. And he copied them. And then I erased my answers and put in the right ones. Get him. So we got our grades back. And he gets his paper and he looks at his grade and he goes, "This can't be an F. I know I got all the right answers." And then he was just about to say, but realized that was a bad thing to do. Have you ever had that thought that you've got all the right answers, and then you realized, "Oh, I really don't. I really don't." That's what happened today in Peter's, in the reading from the Gospel, where Jesus and Peter are having this conversation. First, Jesus asks a very broad question. Who do people say that I am? He's just trying to get a feel for the crowd. He's already starting to make some waves. He doesn't really want He's controversial. It's hard for us as Christians to understand how controversial he was. But you know, when you go around healing, hanging out with lepers, tax collectors, and prostitutes, you start getting a reputation. Who do people say that I am? So the disciples, giving their third-person answers, well, I read about this person's test results. You're alive. Come back to life. Or you're John the Baptist. Come back. Which really doesn't make any sense because they were contemporaries until the job got beheaded. But still, there was a sense that he was some kind of prophet because he spoke with authority and taught. And he performed miracles. Like Elijah. And so getting all of those third-person answers out of the way, Jesus asks the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah. Yeah, I got the right answer. I got the right answer. You're the Messiah. And Jesus says, shh. Don't tell him. It seems odd. But if they start blurting out that he's the Messiah, he's going to get crucified earlier. Because that's a very subversive thing to say. Again, those of us who are in the Christian church don't realize how much of a threat Jesus was. It got that person.
Why do this a change?
To watch everybody. To bring outsiders to the inside. You're the Messiah! Peter's patting himself on the back. I love Peter. If you read through the Gospels, Peter's always doing this kind of thing. Peter gets the right answer, and Peter is just so bold and forward with Jesus. Remember the night when Jesus was betrayed, and Peter said, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. How could you do it? The first to proclaim, Jesus is Messiah. But immediately after, Jesus starts teaching what it means to follow the Messiah. Take up your cross. Follow me. And I'm not doing a triumphal entry. I'm going to Jerusalem. Where I'm going to suffer. And die. And rise again. Peter and Jesus must have been pretty good friends. Because Peter was challenging his mentor. He said, this is not possible. I'll stand there and I'll protect you, you know? You can't go to Jerusalem just to die. You've got so much to offer. Imagine being Jesus' friend. Imagine having one of your friends say, just so you know, sometime in the near future, I'm going to Springfield, and I'm going to be crucified. That school teachers probably already have that sense, right? I'm sorry. But your friend says the worst is coming. And to follow me, you need to pick up your cross. And follow me. And the disciples' response to that says more about the disciple than saying, but you're the Messiah. Peter's response eventually was to follow Jesus. Remember after the resurrection, Jesus sent the women and said, go tell the disciples and Peter, I am risen. He made specifically certain that Peter got the good news. And after the resurrection, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Jesus made certain that Peter got the message.
He was forgiven. He was set free. But he was still commissioned to follow Jesus as we are. So do we respond to Jesus' message? Take up your cross and follow me. And we say, nope. I will proclaim Jesus as Lord. But I'm not going down that road. Or we say, yes, with the help of God, I will follow you. Peter's first answer, remember when he said, you're the Messiah. And Jesus said, shh. It wasn't his vocal proclamation that Jesus was interested in. It was how Peter would respond to the request to follow me. How do you respond to the request to follow Jesus? Wow, it might be unpopular to stand with the oppressed. What if I speak for those who have no voice? That's popular with power, not the powers of the world. But we are called to follow. And so this week, ask yourself, how am I following? Am I just using my lips? As Steve read earlier from James, the lips can get us in a lot of trouble. They're like a spark to a fire. But they can also bless and lift up and heal and bring life. How will your words bring life to others? Encouragement, blessing, prayer, assistance. What does your life say in response to Jesus' call to follow me? The good news here is this isn't about our works or earning our salvation. Jesus loves you just the way you are. Our response, though, says a lot about who we are. As you go about this week, know that you are loved, you are blessed, you are chosen. You are also called to follow Jesus. May the peace of God that found us keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.